D2.
Number 18B.
I think one of the big thing about this level of Christian Science is that this scientific understanding must be seen as a structural understanding. We speak about scientific understanding and may mean something very different from what is meant here. We think we have a scientific understanding if we know this truth and that truth right and the other truth right. This is not scientific understanding. This is an atomistic understanding. Whereas what she shows here is not do we understand something or don't we understand something. What the question is here, do we have the right structure of understanding and not the wrong structure of understanding? Can I make myself clear about the difference? Because the word already said, well, there is creative thinking and there is ordered understanding and that's naturally also understanding, right, and so on. That's in the word. That's a linear way where understanding extends and extends and extends, rises higher, broadens out. But that is not what she really wants to show here, namely that which is scientific understanding within us must be structural understanding. That's why when we come now to the synonymous term, to the science order in Christian Science, she gives for the first time a structural sense of those seven synonymous terms. In the Word order, in the Christ order, in Christianity order, we had a developing sense of the synonyms. In the Christ, translating sense of the synonyms. In the Christianity, a broadening sense of ideas and of understanding. But here, in science, she says, what we really need is another structure of scientific understanding. No more that linear way of adding one fact, understanding one fact to another fact, until understanding rises and broadens. But here she wants to show you must have quite a different receptor, so to say, for being, namely that receptor within yourself, which is a structure of scientific understanding. And she gives that in that structure through the synonymous term here as principle, through the candlestick, principle, on one side life, truth and love, on the other side mind, spirit, soul. So principle here, you see, is on the top and on the bottom. It is showing that principle is that which keeps the whole structure together. It's that which says everything within that principle is kept together as one big structure into one. What is that structure where everything fitly joins together? It is seen as soul and life, spirit and truth, mind and love. What do they mean? What do they imply? Now, what they imply, John Dolly has taught us that, I just quickly recapitulate it, is this, that this structure of consciousness says not there is first light and that light develops and that developing light becomes definite. It's not order, an ordered unfoldment of understanding. It just says, you know, in being, you can only recognize being properly when you see that there are numerals of infinity, as Mrs. Eddy calls them, that there are infinite facts of being, infinite identities of being. She just doesn't add or subtract or multiply one fact, one idea, but she says, I give you the whole of being and tell you that the whole of being consists of unchangeable identities of being, which we may call the numerals of infinity, infinite identities. Well, if she would leave that at that, we wouldn't have a structural concept yet of understanding. We would have a heap of single, of infinitely single ideas. So into the structure of this chaotic sense of infinite ideas, she brings in order and says, in these infinite ideas, there exists, if you see it, an order, spirit and truth. Namely, you have the ordered ideas which make up new truth, the calculus of ideas. There works within that, at first, diffusive sense of infinitude, there works a calculus, and so brings order into that infinitudinous. Can you say infinitudinous? You see, of ideas, brings order into it, structure into it, so that spirit and truth are those terms which says, through order, through bringing order into these ideas, you bring out new forms, truth. And every time you look at infinitude through another order, you see new forms. New forms. All right. That also gives us a sense, now chaos is brought into light, into order, bringing out new forms. What new forms? What new forms? And so mind and love tell us what new forms, and says they are always such that they make sense in the whole, that each situation has its solution. It's never haphazard. See, nothing happens haphazardly. But through ordering, it is always so that each situation has its perfect answer, mind and love. Each idea, each problem, each right problem carries within itself a perfect answer, love. And so shows that this can be infinitely repeating itself and infinitely repeating itself in the omni-action of principle. Now, let's take this whole thing as an illustration with a kaleidoscope. Kaleidoscope, you say. See, a kaleidoscope is so to say that science order. In a kaleidoscope, you have your numerals of infinity. You have a certain amount of identities, namely different little papers or sometimes glasses of different colors, different shapes. They are there, and you shake it. And every time you shake it, you bring new order into these different little bits. They are always the same little bits. In natural and divine being, they are infinite. Here in the kaleidoscope, you have these bits. These are the numerals of infinity. You shake it. You bring order into it, a new order. And every time a new order is brought about, you see a new form. A new form. And every time you shake it, we come now to mind and love. Every time you shake it, you bring out another new order. But it's haphazardly. Here, the symbolism doesn't anymore go along with this structure. Because in science, then, we see that the shaking, the shaking has always a teleological aim. That it is always so that every new shaking, that every new form that is brought out has its place and makes sense. No more haphazardness, no more accident in it. It has plan in it, mind and love. And so we see if that can be done endlessly, then we have the omni-operation of principle. That's what we have on the top principle. Can you see the illustration? That shaking of the world is going on, and the divine principle on the top of this order is that which says, I am the shaker. I never repeat myself. Principle is said, I am an infinite principle. I have infinite ideas. But I operate infinitely, and therefore I never repeat myself. All right, this principle says, what I'm going to shake are those infinite numerals of infinity, You can say the infinite ideas which have identity and never change and are in existence, soul and life, and that principle shakes the identities of being and always bring out new order, new form, spirit and truth. And every time that principle shakes to bring out a new form and truth, it has a purpose in it. It doesn't shake haphazardly, by accident. It has purpose, so that every new form is adapted to a situation. Mind as completely fulfilled for the whole plan, love. And that goes on and on and on, never repeating itself as principle. Can you see now how I look at this science structure as understanding? This is our understanding. You see what it says. It doesn't say understanding is that we know what are each of those numerals of infinity. That does the word. The word gives us an understanding of what constitutes the word of God. Here, understanding is to have that comprehensive scientific understanding which sees that all is structured into one, and there is just one great shuffling or shaking going on, one infinite rhythm going on, where these infinite ideas are constantly changing, taking new forms, always for a certain purpose, and always going on infinitely, never repeating itself. Then I have a comprehensivist's sense of scientific understanding. Now, what shall we take again? All right. Let us take and see how this can be looked at from our human point of view. This vertical column of science is certainly one that comes very near to our heart. We long for understanding science. How? How? This column gives us a very good answer. How we get to that understanding? If we look at it from the top, we see that we don't get any understanding except that principle understands itself through the self-understanding of principle. That we are not trying to gather understanding, accumulate scientific understanding, but that we open our mind to the most comprehensive sense that principle understands itself. That it is that self-understanding of God Himself. That self-understanding of God Himself always interprets itself to us as understanding. As what sort of understanding? As that understanding on the level of Christian Science as a structure of understanding. We say so often that we have to give birth to science. I say it so often. I don't know if you have said it, but I have said it over and over and over. I'm no more saying it. It's finished. It's over. I'm no more going to give birth to scientific understanding. There is no more an I that gives birth. The I can't give birth. And if I look now at that wonderful paragraph on scientific obstetrics and look at it from a structural sense of science, then I see that that paragraph tells me to do something very differently. That paragraph starts with thought, lifts it up to idea, and lifts idea up to the synonymous term of truth and love. It says that teacher and student should be familiar with the obstetrics taught by this science, and to attend properly the birth of a new child or divine idea. She not even says to a divine idea. She sees that through obstetrics gives birth to the divine idea, not to a divine idea. And that, naturally, it also can give to a divine idea. But the paragraph is really to show how to give birth to the divine idea. The divine idea, which is science. How to give birth to scientific understanding. The divine idea. You should so detach mortal thought from its material conception. So, in this paragraph, we always can ask ourselves, what is my part of doing in this birth, and what is God's part doing in this birth? And she shows only at the right at the beginning that we have any part in this birth which God brings about, and that is to let down all mortal conceptions, to detach mortal thought from all material conceptions. So that's the only thing we have to do, to really empty our thought until we see that we can't understand anything, that we can't give birth to anything, that we jolly well have to have that ability to let life, truth, and love happen, to let life, truth, and love interpret itself to us. Only then, really, I have done my share. And after I've done my share, the idea takes over. Then it's no more, that whole paragraph asks no more anything of us. It only asks one thing, not to have any human conception. Wonderful. In order to know something, you don't have to know anything. Humanly. See, the less we know, the less we empty our thought, the more we can divinely know. Or the more we are divinely known. So, at that very point, she goes right over and says, then, if we have done that, if we have let down, if we have given up all mortal thought, then the idea takes over and says, though gathering new energy, this idea cannot injure its useful surroundings. A spiritual idea has not a single element of error, and this truth removes properly what is offensive. Then she drops the tone of idea and lifts it up to the synonymous term and says, the new idea conceived and born of truth and love. Of truth and love. So I begin to realize, that's how it is done. I don't have to try to accumulate divine knowledge. All I have to do is to let go of any material conception, let go of anything that I already know. I usually go as far as to say, and everything I know about science, I let go. Not even that which I think I know about science is of any value. I even put that behind me and say, all right, what I have thought Christian science is up to this point is of no use whatever. It may be my concept of it. I don't know. But it may be my concept of it. And so I don't take that danger that I'm going on to carry on my concept of science. And I let it right drop down and see the idea is taking over. All that matters is the idea. What idea? That idea which is born of truth and love. What this idea will be, I do not know. I only know that she says that the idea is conceived of truth and love. And is born of truth and love. Not that I give birth to an idea. I am no more going to give birth to any idea. I am through with it. It helped me quite a long way. But once one has seen that it is no more sufficient, one better drops it and takes on the higher method. And sees, she says actually, word by word, she says that the new idea is conceived and born of truth and love. Oh, think of it. If at that moment we begin to realize that truth, capitalized truth, that is truth itself, truth that knows all about truth and love, therefore that truth which is completely fulfilled in every detail, that that truth and love is going to conceive of the idea and to bring it forth, and I am to do a thing about it. Except to let it happen. Except not to have any material concept about it. We have hardly the courage to believe that this works, that we don't have to do a damn thing about it. We have hardly the courage. We think, oh yes, but after all, I have to do something about it. No, the text doesn't. The text says the only thing we have to do is not to do anything, not to have any conception about it. Then the idea can take over. Which idea? The idea born, conceived, and born of truth and love. You see? And she says, then the idea is clad in white garments. Then the idea which is brought forth by truth and love is clad in white, in seven, hued white, in a fulfilled say, in a fulfilled form, clad, the garment clad, with the whole range of the seven synonymous term. Think what that means. That if we let that happen, then truth and love is going to give birth to our understanding. Always something higher, something more, a new insight, a new standpoint, a new aspect. Mutations of consciousness are taking place. John Dawley taught us that paragraph on scientific obstetrics, well, way back, I think. Doris, did he tell it to you in your... All right, way back in the 1918-20, you see. He taught us when I went through class before the war. And I think it was the only thing that really did stick to me as something which I could never forget anymore. And there were not many days that passed since then, since those 30 more years, that I haven't given thought to scientific obstetrics. First in the way I understood it, in a metaphysical way, in an upward ascending way. And then suddenly, a few years ago, I began to see, no, that's not what she says. That's what I was thinking she was saying, but not what the text says. And in the measure, therefore, we begin to realize, you see, that truth and love, those eternal facts which are, which have ever been, in their whole completeness, love, in their whole perfection, in their whole intricacies, their whole structure, in their whole planning, that is going to give birth to an idea, clad in white garment. Therefore it must have the seven. It must have the structure of that science order. And so at that point one began to realize that truth and love really comes to scientific understanding and says, I bring forth your structure of understanding. How? How does that truth and love precipitate itself, so to say, on us and give the structure of understanding? Well, the Gospel of John tells us that in Jesus' way, in the symbolism of how he saw Jesus' life, we can lift it out of the symbolism of the Bible and just see this in this column, namely that in divine science principle says I'm the only principle and I'm the all-encompassing principle love. That principle is the principle of truth and love. That principle says I know already all. Truth. I know already all. I have already that scientific understanding which knows already all. And that scientific understanding which knows already all is absolutely fulfilled. There is not a little imperfection in it. And so I begin to see, that's how it works. That there exists in being always infinite identities. Reality consists of infinite identities. But truth and love say to that. Can you see, I begin now to combine truth and love with the science order. That truth says, I affirm myself infinitely. Therefore, these identities of being have to come forth and be identified. Because truth is self-affirming, and truth is the truth about all truth, it comes to us as affirming within ourselves what constitutes the identities of being. And love says to that, and these can be known by everyone and can be recognized by everyone. They are not isolated, they are not partial, they are impartial. Truth and love. Can you see that? You see, we can ask ourselves first, we can ask ourselves, why on earth should we have and should we get scientific understanding? So that we know that there are self-evident truths and that they are not just what we think they are, that we are not just constructing something in our consciousness and think what reality is. We have the only safety by seeing, I have to go to the absolute, to truth and love. And if I let truth and love give birth to the idea of understanding, then I see, because truth is the truth of all, it affirms itself everywhere in an identical way, so, as existing identities of being. And love says, and these can be recognized by everybody. Therefore, understanding must come to me and to everyone scientifically in the very same way, in the identical way. Then I begin to realize spirit and truth, the calculus of ideas. I see, but how do I see and understand now the order and the calculus of these ideas forming always new truths? I begin to realize I don't have to make a calculus and I don't have to calculate. It is on the authority of truth and love that these calculus are being made and brought to consciousness. Namely, because truth says, I am the truth of all truths, of every truth. Therefore, I know all the various truths, every form of truth, all new form of truth, and love says, and these truths contain the solution. So the calculus is always a new truth containing the solution. And it comes to me. I don't have to calculate. Up to a certain point in our development, we thought, well, we have to calculate ideas. I am no more going to calculate ideas. I'm no more going to blend ideas. I let truth say, I know all the infinite truths, and they are the answer to every situation, because they are love. And that brings to me, every time, a new combination of ideas. Terrific.